You know, I'm looking back at this last week in China. It seems surreal. The gospel is unchained in China.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I believe it's Monday. I'm pretty sure it's Monday because I got back from China late last night, and I'm pretty sure it's Monday. I'm even more sure that I am Michael Brown, and it's my joy to be with you today on The Line of Fire, which means I'm ready to talk with you at 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. One thing I don't want to talk about a whole lot is the fact that 1 week from today, I'm scheduled to leave for India. Yeah, a lot of travel in a short period of time, but I'm blessed and well. Thank you for praying. And what can I say? The trip to China was amazing. I'm going to get to share a lot of updates with you. The gospel cannot be changed. The gospel cannot be chained. It can't be, well, people can change it, but God's word will go forth. But the gospel cannot be bound. It cannot be chained. And you'll be amazed to hear some of the things I learned, had a lot of interaction with a lot of key people, and was part of history being made. So I get to share all that with you, take your calls, questions. Also, I was about to be interviewing right now, this very minute, Pastor Mark Driscoll, author of a new book called Resurgence, also in the midst of some controversy surrounding that book. He's had the flu. Moments before the show, we got notice that he had to cancel out, and we're looking to reschedule ASAP. So for those looking for the Mark Driscoll interview or going to see if I was going to follow up with what happened with some of the controversy with Pastor Driscoll and the Janet Medford show last week, that won't be happening today. I had a bunch of questions for Pastor Driscoll. That was one of them, but just out of a bunch that I wanted to ask him. So God willing, we'll reschedule that soon. The good news is I get to update all of you on some of the amazing things that happened on this trip to China. And maybe time permitting, we'll even do some open phones. You've got questions, we've got answers, because I only answered e-questions from China on Friday. But let me say this. There are two sayings that I heard while in China, or I was reminded of while in China, a country of about 1.3 billion people. So for every American of any ethnic background, every American in our country today, which is roughly 300 million, there are more than four Chinese. Same with Indians, more than four Indians. So we are vastly outnumbered. Half of the world plus lives in Asia right now. But there are two sayings that I heard about China. One, if you've heard something about China, it's probably true, meaning it's such a big country, it's such a vast country, there are so many different aspects to it that little of everything happens to be true. The other saying, which is really, really interesting, is that nothing is as it appears in China. Nothing is as it appears. You see, all of the contacts I've had, all of my friends involved with China have worked with the so-called underground churches, the non-registered churches, those who've undergone such severe persecution and suffering over the decades since the rise of communism in the middle of the 20th century in China, and have seen the greatest church growth in the history of any country anywhere in the world. I was very skeptical about the Three Self patriotic movement, the Three Self church, the government recognized churches, and that's who we were meeting with. I was part of a delegation of about 40 Protestant leaders from America, heads of denominations, presidents of seminaries. Apparently, I was the only Jew on our team. And we were part of historic meetings. And friends, let me tell you, Jesus is moving in the registered, government-recognized churches in China.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. I hope you enjoyed the special guest host we had after 5.5 years on the radio, daily radio, 5 days a week. This is the first time I've ever had guest hosts, so we had the joy of having Stu Epperson Jr. and then Steve Noble for 2 days, and then Frank Turek, and then I came your way from China on Friday. God willing, I'll be broadcasting live from India next week, always one of the highlights of the year for me, the trip to India, and then broadcasting from 12:30 in the morning till 2:30 in the morning from India. God willing, that's coming your way next week. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Before I give you my updates from China, let me make a special announcement. If you were expecting to hear from Pastor Mark Driscoll, he had to cancel out last minute with the flu. We're looking to reschedule ASAP. But a special announcement for everyone. On tomorrow's broadcast, the Tuesday broadcast, I will be doing our second ever cessationist call-in day. If you believe that the charismatic gifts of the New Testament have ceased, if you believe that the things that were normative in the New Testament in terms of gifts of healing or miracles or tongues or prophecy are no longer normative for today, then this is your day to call in. Now, I want to be candid with you. I did this a couple months back and was really disappointed with the calls. Now, we had people calling in explaining why the gifts and power of the New Testament were still normative for today, which is what I believe. And to me, the scripture is overwhelmingly clear that that's the case. That's why I continue extending invitations to Pastor John MacArthur and those in his camp to have a public formal debate on this with a gracious, respectful spirit, but to lay out the differences. Thus far, no takers. Did have a very edifying debate with Dr. Sam Waldron on the subject. You can listen to it by going to askdrbrown.org, clicking on latest video. It's on posted on YouTube, and scroll down, you'll find that. But so far, no official word from anyone in Pastor MacArthur's camp. I'm looking forward to that. But this is your opportunity to call in. Now, I want to be candid. I heard from a lot of people afterwards on social media. Oh, they had good arguments. They had good points to make. Well, this is the opportunity to do it. I can't interact with everyone on social media. We can only respond to a fraction of the posts and comments that come in, understandably. But the reason we have live radio, one key reason, is so we can hear from you, so you can call in, so you can share your viewpoints with me. So our next broadcast, Tuesday, this is the day for you to call in with your best arguments as to why the New Testament charismatic gifts have ceased. Let me just say from my perspective, if I had the opportunity to air my views on a show where someone differed with me, a secular media, Orthodox Jewish show, another Christian show with a different perspective, gay activist show, whatever. If I had the opportunity to do it, even if I was not controlling the mic and it wasn't a formal debate, just to get my argument out there, I'd gladly do it. In fact, I take interviews like that all the time and go into hostile territory because this is a great opportunity to share my views with others who wouldn't get to hear them otherwise and perhaps engage the host and challenge the host. So this is your opportunity to do it. All right. 866-348-7884. Let me share with you about China. Again, it's a vast country. I understand that. I was only there for 1 week. I understand that. We met with government officials, and obviously there was a perspective they wanted us to get. I understand that. At the same time, I've had friends who have lived in China, served in China different ways for more than a decade. I have other friends who've been involved with the Chinese church for many years before that. And then I constantly asked questions while there. I constantly asked questions of the delegates that traveled with me. Again, this was by special invitation of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. The leader of their Asian Chinese focus, Reverend Henry Holly, now 87 years old, going strong, just amazingly, has been over in China scores and scores of times. He first went to China as a Marine leading the invasion against the Japanese in 1945, so just a young man then, but he's been back to minister many, many, many times since, and has relations with some of the key leaders across the nation. And there were people that were on our team, seminary heads, denominational heads, different leaders, megachurch pastors, just different folks representing a wide backdrop, wide background of believers from the States. And some of them have been working in China for years and years and years and years. One of them is married to a former leader in the Three Self Patriotic Movement, the Three Self Churches, being those that are formally recognized by the government. And Three Self stands for self-governing, self-supporting, and self-propagating. Some of them have been working with these churches for years and years and years. One, as I said, married to a former leader from the Three Self Churches. Others have been working with both the house churches and the registered churches. And then I spoke with many house church pastors earlier this year. And they told me that in the last few years, things have really changed. There is more freedom. You can be in a big city and there are a couple hundred people gathered in a building and they're obviously singing hymns and having a meeting and they're not officially registered. And yet they can go on and do it. Other parts of the country, the persecution is still there. In some places, intense. So I wanted to know, okay, what's actually happening? I know what's happening in the house churches. Obviously not all of them, but I know enough people that have worked with the house churches for decades. I understand that. I understand how the gospel has been moving in the midst of pressure and persecution. But what about in the government churches? What about the Three Self Patriotic Movement? Now, the Three Self concept goes back to the 1800s. The European missionaries and others who were working in China said the only way that the Chinese church can really go is by finding its own form of expression and by being self-propagating and self-governing and to ultimately remove the foreign missionary presence as much as possible to support and help, but the movement has to be indigenous in order to grow. Well, that concept goes back to the 1800s. Communism rises up in the mid-1900s, terrible persecution of churches. And some Chinese leaders said, listen, we will go on with that three-self movement and we will be loyal to the government, hence the three-self patriotic movement. We will be loyal to the government. And this way you can allow us to be an internal indigenous Chinese church, but loyal to the government. Well, for the house church movement, by and large, that was compromise. And in fact, in many ways, in its beginning, there were more restrictions, certain things that couldn't be preached. And obviously, criticism against the government, even in the political realm, is something that doesn't exist in China. But what was fascinating for me to find out, and I found it out from every which way, I have no question that it's true. And I've heard it from other friends of mine who've been in China for years. God is moving in the government churches. I'm talking about millions of people being saved in the government-recognized churches. Now, the government doesn't run them, okay? But they are recognized by the government, registered with the government. And in America, if you had to pick our number one greatest value, the thing that's most important to us on a national level and a personal level, I believe we would say freedom. Declaration of independence, freedom, the ability to self-determine our future. Freedom, it rings true with people across the world, but in particular, that's a deep value in America. The value that would be the rough equivalent in China would most probably be harmony or social order. So the Chinese government officially recognizes Christianity as one of its national religions, along with Buddhism, along with Islam, etc. It recognizes Christianity, and government officials were excited to tell us how it is growing in the country and how it is viewed positively. The issue is, well, what happens when the gospel comes in conflict with culture? We had 2.5 days of meetings with some of the top national leaders from the government, from the state administration for religious affairs, with China Christian Council, with Three Self Patriotic Movement, with professors from universities, an honest interaction both ways. And friends, the door is wide open. I mean, I could potentially go and teach in one of the seminaries there for a week if schedule allowed. we could interchange. We could go and minister with their leaders or in their churches or have them come here and interface. But something happened on this trip I got to be part of. I believe it was historic. In the midst of a meeting with the State Administration for Religious Affairs called SARA, this is the government organization that oversees what happens with religion in the country. And with the national head of that speaking to all of us candidly and openly, and this man, as I understand, reports directly to the premier in China, I got to do something in a building that they told us is older than the United States, the building itself. I got to do something I believe was unprecedented. Tell you what, when we come back.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, that is the sounds of China. 866-34-TRUTH, Michael Brown, fresh back from my trip to China, got in late last night, and of course, wouldn't miss a beat, wanted to be with you on the air live today. But because I only did e-questions from China on Friday, I'm going to open the phone lines, 866-348-7884. Anything you want to ask me, anything that you want to ask me about China, but you've got questions, we've got answers, that's what we do on Friday. If you want to ask me anything relating to Scripture, any theological controversy, anything that came up last week you want to follow up with, phone lines are open, and I will take calls on some random subjects as well. Okay, so we are in the offices for SARA. This is the State Administration for Religious Affairs in China. The particular building we're in had some attachment with former emperors and stuff. It was this gorgeous Chinese building, which, again, the gentleman presenting there explained to us is older than the United States. They have a 5,000-year history. We have roughly a 300-year history. So it's kind of interesting to get the different perspectives and how we look at things. But they wanted us to know that things are getting better for Christians in China from all backgrounds. They wanted us to know that there's a lot of growth taking place in the country, but it's uneven. There are strengths and weaknesses because of the rapid growth. When we were given a tour of Beijing, different parts of the city, on Saturday, our one tourist day, and got to scale parts of the Great Wall of China. If you're following me on Facebook, then you got to see some of the pictures that we posted from there. Just breathtaking, extraordinary. But we were shown all these buildings, and our tour guide said virtually none of these were here 20 years ago. Things have grown dynamically, rapidly. In fact, the prices in the hotel in Beijing just to get a meal there, if you went in the restaurant, would be far, 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 far higher than even some of the nicest hotels in America. So things just kind of exploded. Then you go out in the more rural areas and it's still impoverished and so on. It's a vast country with a lot of differences in it. But we're in these offices and I'm wondering, okay, I wonder how many brothers and sisters have been persecuted by folks in the administration here. I wonder what's happening. You know, just I'm asking questions. I'm wondering out loud. But they're wide open. We had no restrictions at any point with video, with audio, with taking pictures, none. In fact, this was a historic delegation coming over from Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and they wanted the whole world, basically, you know, the Chinese world, to know what was happening and who was being welcomed. How could it be a negative to have open interaction? How could it be a negative to build relationships and bring the truth of the gospel and serve to help bring the truth of the gospel to the government-recognized churches in China. And there's so many tens of millions, even with government count of 23 million and the non-official counts of more like 100 million Christians in the country, they recognize this is not something they're just going to try to snuff out, nor do they desire to. So we have this meeting there, and then they asked for some reflections, comments. I got to spend some good time with Reverend Dr. Donald Wilton, Billy Graham's pastor. He got to bring greetings from Dr. Graham, and we got to, different ones got to share, and, you know, what were their impressions of the week, the forum, and so on. They asked a couple of the leaders there to share. And then we were just about done. Here we are in this ancient Chinese building, friends. Here we are meeting with the government officials responsible for oversight of religious affairs in China. And I feel prompted. It's just one of those things. I feel I'm supposed to do this. I was going to make a comment, some general comment and a suggestion for further interaction. Instead, I just feel prompted. Stand up and say, as a Jew on our delegation, I was the only Jew on our delegation, that we also have an ancient history. And I just felt it would be appropriate to speak the priestly blessing from number 6, the Lord bless you and keep you, to speak it in Hebrew and pronounce it over them. There is power in the word of God. There's power in the truth of God. There's power in the blessing of God. And I just felt I was supposed to do it. Now, remember, everything we're doing, I'm recognizing I'm part of this delegation. You want to do things with wisdom. You want to do things in a proper order. But I felt prompted, I'm supposed to do this. So I said, with your permission, I'd like to, and they nodded approvingly. And so I spoke it in Hebrew, translated into English. My Chinese translator then translated into Chinese. And then the head of SARA, the State Administration for Religious Affairs, wanted me to know that there were many Jews in Shanghai, China, and that during World War II, Shanghai helped rescue Jews in China. Remarkable, just remarkable. And afterwards, different leaders were really positive that I did it. The leadership from Dr. Graham's organization were positive that I did it, that I pronounced this blessing. I thought, I wonder if this has ever been done before. I wonder if a Jew has stood there in that historic building with these government officials and pronounced the ancient Hebrew blessing. You can read an article where I share more about the trip and more about what's happening in China by going to my website, askdrbrown.org, and just clicking on the latest article, askdrbrown.org. Just click on latest article. Again, for those who are expecting to hear me speaking with Pastor Mark Driscoll, he's had the flu canceled out today, last minute, and we're looking to reschedule as soon as possible. 866-34-TRUTH. We come back. I want to take your calls. Matthew, stay right there. I want to talk to you about China. And the phone lines are open. If you have any question you'd like to ask me that you normally ask on a Friday, today is a great day to do that. All right. While in China, I spoke with a lot of American leaders. I was talking to Dr. William Wilson, president of Oral Roberts University. You know what he told me the biggest issue he's running into wherever he travels? Hyper grace. We were on a bus ride to some, I mean, we were constantly going city to city and place to place, just constant travel and constant China traffic and smog. Yeah. And got to talk about hyper grace. Next thing, all these heads turn. Okay. Denominational heads, different one. Let's talk about it. They're all eager to get copies of my hyper grace book that's due out January 7th. So friends, we want to do something special. I've only done this with a couple of books I've ever written, but we will be numbering the first few hundred copies, and I will be signing a numbered copy of Hyper Grace, kind of a collector's edition, 304-page paperback, $30 postage paid for your numbered, signed copy. Call this number today to be among the first, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. As soon as the book's available, we will mail out to you, mail to you, postage paid. It'll be, as I say, a collector's item, numbered and signed. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast straight back from China. I got home, about 13, 14 hours ago last night, caught up some with Nancy, tried to turn in early, and then what you do when you've got these massive time differentials, 13-hour time change this time around, what you do, friends, you try to stay up to your normal bedtime. Well, for me, not 3, 4 in the morning. Try to stay up to 11, 12 at night, and then take a sleeping pill because you're going to start waking up in the middle of the night. Keep going back to sleep and sleep as much as you can. It's a good way to overcome jet lag. 866-348-7884. So again, what I understand has happened in China is this, that the gospel cannot be chained or hindered. So as Bibles are printed, we visited Amity Printing Press, which just celebrated printing 100 million Bibles. Now, these are in many languages. Even the Chinese ones are not kept all within the country, but at least 4 million a year are printed for China. You say, well, there could be more. There's need for more. I understand that. But thank God for millions of Bibles still being printed under a communist government. And here's the thing. People read the Bible, they get changed. People read the Bible, they get saved. In the government churches, even, and please understand this, the Three Self Patriotic Movement, the name of the Protestant churches in China that are not that are not in the house church movement, it's just one big group. In other words, you don't have liberal, conservative, you don't have Methodist, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Pentecost. You just have one group. So within it, you have those who are more liberal, you have those that have a greater allegiance to the government, you have those that are more conservative, you have those that are preaching a simple gospel message. But the fact is, they are becoming more and more evangelical because the gospel is being preached. So we had folks on our team, some of the pastors that were there, preached at some of the churches there, preached with freedom. And the churches were packed out with multiple Sunday services. That was not just a show by the government. That's people's spiritual hunger being drawn to Jesus. It's amazing to see. I've got more to talk with you about, but let's go to the phones, starting with Matthew in Springfield, Virginia. Thanks so much for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Besides doing very tired. Well. How about you? I'm good. Tired?
Yeah, you sound a little tired.
All right, hang on. Just one second. Let's get some opinions here from Matt, Joey, Dwight, Randy, Clay. See if I sound tired. But it's no problem because I did just fly in from travel 20 hours to get home yesterday, got in late last night. But I feel good. I feel alert, well, sharp. I know my name. But go ahead. Back to you.
Okay. You know, what you said, what you see in China isn't always as it seems, right?
Yep. Yeah, that's the saying. Nothing is as it appears.
Right. And, you know, when you're down there at the Forbidden City, all those little vendors that are outside, all of them actually work for the government. And they ask, you know, how was your trip? How's the guide been? What have you seen? You know, they're friendly. And the premier of China was actually one of those vendors. We had a guide, and somebody in the group made kind of a comment that wasn't all that pleasing. It wasn't all that negative either. And the next day, our guide was no longer there.
Uh-huh.
He was gone.
Yep.
And so they're masters of perception. And what you're saying about the church and everything kind of reminds me of the Catholic Church when they formed the the Jesuits, and they told
Tell you what, stay right there, Matthew. We come back, I got a question for you, all right? Okay, so far, I've got one no, that I don't sound tired. One yes, you can actually see me, that I look tired and sound tired. Hey, Matt, you don't look so good yourself.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. Even jet-lagged, even after 20 hours of travel yesterday and a 13-hour time differential, I can still outspell Matt. Just for the record, because he's the one that said I look tired and I sound tired. I'm feeling a little bit tired, actually. All right. Yeah, that's not saying much. True. You forgot the apostrophe in that, Matt, just for the record. 866-348-7884. We visited the leading registered seminary in China. Got to hear from people there. Got to speak with some of the faculty. I heard some other reports from folks right within the country when I was there that are pretty amazing. 866-348-7884. Now, hear me, and I'm going to go back to the phones in a moment. Even if some of what's happening is for show, listen, I'm sure the American government has a lot of stuff for show as well. Even if some of what is going on was for show, look at it like this. For show, you allow me to preach the gospel on your national television network just to show that there's religious freedom, even though it's the only broadcast for the gospel you're allowing to go out. This is just a hypothetical, okay? You live in the country of Timbuk Shwarma, okay? And there's complete religious persecution there, but you want everyone to know when I'm there that there's really freedom. So you say, hey, preach the gospel freely on the national TV network, and I do, and millions of people get to hear it. Well, people are going to get saved because that's the power of the gospel, you see? That's the point. The gospel is moving. People are being saved. Even in the registered house, the registered government churches, hundreds of thousands of people are being saved and baptized each year. And I met with people who have been working for years or lived in China for years and have been working with both the registered churches and the non-registered. This, especially when you get further out from the cities, you find very little difference between them. So, Matthew, just back to you for a final comment about nothing is as it seems. And by the way, when we had our tour just around Beijing and then we went up to the Great Wall, we had this great gal, really funny tour leader. I had a great talk with her about the gospel, but she said some things about Chairman Mao on the trip and what a great leader he was and so on. And I said, you know, we have a very different perspective. It's just the two of us walking for a little while on the Great Wall of China. And I wanted to share the gospel with her. And I said, you know, we have a very different perspective. We recognize he was a strong leader, but also very ruthless and millions of people killed. And she said, oh yeah, I have to just give the correct statement there on the bus. Of course, we think he made bad decisions too. So anyway, all that, but she was terrific. All that to say, I understand that you're going to be given certain appearances. It's just amazing to see how the gospel is moving, period. So back to you, sir. Thanks for holding and waiting.
So my concern is, I mean, are they doing like the Catholic Church did with the Jesuits, where they told the Jesuits during the Protestant Reformation, go in and be like them, talk like them, preach like them, and find out who's in the underground churches, who's in this Reformation, so when we want to crack down, we can crack down. And that is my concern, you know, is...
I asked those very questions. I asked, because we spoke over dinner with one of the government leaders. Let's see, I guess it was Friday night dinner. We spoke with one of the government leaders. And I said, okay, we found out how the TSPM, the Three Self-Patriotic Movement churches, view the house churches. And we got two responses. We got an official response that, you know, we know they're there, but they're not preaching the gospel. Then we got other responses from pastors saying we work side by side. They come to our communion services. We work side by side. We're friendly. And that's what I've heard from others as well. So I asked this government leader, I said, how do you view them? And she said, well, we know they're there. She said, we know they're meeting in houses. We know they're there. And as long as there's no disruption, in other words, if people are not complaining about noise in a house or something, she said, then we have no problem with it. Our big thing is harmony, social order, etc. And she said, but look, we have the same rules across the nation, but everyone then, everyone interprets them differently, carries them out differently. So then I talked to some others on our side, and I said, could it be that they want the house church leaders to register, and once they're registered, then they can crack down? Because that's what I've heard from some house church leaders. They're not sure how to take this. Other friends on our side of this said, no, it's for real. Liberties are coming more and more. They do not want to be perceived as against human rights, you know, for many reasons globally. So what the house churches are going to do, I don't know. But this much I do know. The issue especially is evangelizing outside of the four walls of a meeting. Is that going to be considered disruptive? If more and more people get saved, what about if it's a historic city, say, where Confucius was born, and they want to, the government churches want to build a physical church building there? That's considered a conflict. Those things are still unfold, but there's no question whether things started for show or not, or printing Bibles was for show, the word's going forth and people are being saved. But Matthew, your questions are very fair. Same questions I'm asking, and we really need to be praying for liberty, freedom, and truth to spread through the nation. Thanks for the call. Friends, if you go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, click on latest article. You can read the article reciting an ancient Hebrew blessing in the offices for religious affairs in China. And you can also link to another article about nothing is as it seems in China. One of our grads with the U.S. Center for World Missions sent me this. It's from last year. 8 myths about China today. Myth number 1, China is a communist country. Myth number 2, China is a capitalist country. Myth number 3, China is a wealthy modern country. Myth number 4, China is a poor backward country. Myth number 5, people live under severe oppression. Myth number 6, people live in freedom. Myth number 7, religious persecution is a normal experience for believers of all faiths. Myth number 8, there is religious freedom. So in fact, there is quite a mixture. No surprise about that. Let's go to Sheila in Englewood, New Jersey. Sheila, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and welcome back, and God bless you. You had a safe trip.
Thank you.
Now, I would like to read a verse just for the guy who just commented, and then you answer me. I'm reading from Matthew 24, verse 14, and I'm reading in the King James. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached, Jesus speaking, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. A few years ago, TBN recorded how they sent so many Bibles into Russia. So we see that we could tick off this based on your report. Dr. Brown, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. We could tick off the script here that Jesus said in Matthew 24:14 that it is fulfilled. So praise the Lord for your good report, man.
Yeah,
all right. I was wondering how far they preached, but you don't have to say. You have to say anything else?
No, here's what I
give all the comment about all where it preached. So yeah. I was asking if it preached all over, but this we could tick it off. It's fulfilled there now.
Yeah,
have a blessed day.
Thank you, Sheila. I appreciate that. Here's what I wanted to say. Here's what we did know. We did know that maybe there were, close to 1 million believers in China before the rise of communism in the middle of the 20th century. We knew that, all right? We also knew that the gospel has grown like never before in any country in the world under communism. Churches went underground because of persecution. No one knew what was really happening. Then Western contacts started to get back in. Others started to get back in and were stunned to hear how the gospel had grown. So this is in the unregistered house churches in the midst of severe suffering, persecution. Things began to change a couple decades back with more liberty. But in the last few years, especially, you have to understand, with the growing global economy, with China prospering more and more. Look, we got into Shanghai, and not far from the hotel, there was Kentucky Fried Chicken. I didn't eat there. There was McDonald's. I didn't eat there. There was Starbucks. I didn't go there. There was Hershey's Chocolate. I did go there. Enjoyed some Hershey's Kisses on the trip. This is right outside the store. And if you didn't hear when I mentioned this on Friday's show, I go out there and some guy comes up to me trying to proposition me to find some lady. And when I realized what he was talking about in this broken English, I started to preach the gospel to him and said, man, you need Jesus. And then when he still wasn't listening, I pointed to my wedding ring. He said, no, enjoy life. I said, my life is very full. Then I talked to another guy who said on the elevator from our team. On the elevator, he got propositioned by a lady. Then another guy on our team said, just walking down the street from there, he got propositioned 10 different times. Rough, that was his figure. All that to say, the world, sin, the flesh, healthy and strong. Materialism, healthy and strong. Across the street from our hotel in Nanjing, there was a Rolex store. No, not the $15 version, the real deal. All right, much more. Stay with me.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Yes, it is yours truly. Back from China, got in late last night. Thrilled to be back live with you on the air. 866-348-7884. Can I tell you something else that was really interesting on this trip? On our delegation hosted by the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, not only could we freely take pictures of every meeting, freely videotape, freely audio tape. I mean, things are happening and I'm posting on Facebook in real time and people are blogging in real time. And there were no restrictions put on us as far as getting information out. Obviously, the government wanted the world to know through us that there's openness, interaction. You say, yeah, it's a show. Well, here's what's not a show. The fact that millions of Chinese in the government-registered churches are getting saved because the gospel's being preached and people are reading the Bible. Here's what's not a show. That there is wide open request for help in the seminaries and the churches based on mutual respect and equality. Wide open desire to interface. How can that be negative or wrong? But here's something else that was fascinating. On the trip, we had leaders, for example, the former general of the Salvation Army, solidly born again, Jesus-loving man, and one of the current commanding officers, again, solid, born again, Jesus-loving man. We had the head of the Nazarene denomination, the head of the Assemblies of God denomination. We had Lutheran leaders. We had Presbyterian leaders. We had a wide range of leaders, and our hearts beat for the same Jesus. Our hearts beat for the same gospel. I was thrilled to see how many of them believe in the ongoing ministry of the gifts and power of the Holy Spirit for today, and yet I never would have thought of many of them as in the charismatic Pentecostal column, but find out what their heartbeat is. But it was amazing when you're there in another country, when you're there as followers of Jesus, that what you have in common massively overrides, overwhelms, outweighs the differences that you might have. I wonder what would happen if we live like that here in America, recognizing our unity in Jesus more than our differences. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Ted in Dover, Delaware. Ted, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you. I appreciate hearing your story. I told your screener that I almost married a woman from China that I met here. She went back there. It didn't work out, but that's another story. But when she was here, she was really curious, you know, learning more about Christianity. But what I want to ask you was, I've spoken to some Philippine women who work, you know, they're Catholic, and they're working in China as nannies, etc., and then some of them have told me that they go to Catholic churches over there. Are there actually, what were they talking about? Were they actually Catholic churches in the open, or what is that?
All right, that did not come up much on our trip because we were meeting as Protestant leaders, and the Three Self Patriotic Movement is Protestant only. But here's what you have. You have the exact same parallel with the registered churches and the unregistered churches with Catholicism as well. So you have government-recognized Catholic churches, just like you have government-recognized Protestant churches. And then you also have unregistered Catholic churches, just like you have unregistered Protestant churches. And according to estimates that were put together by Paul Hadaway, long-term involved with China, he looked at more than 2,000 surveys and things with different data and information. He put the number of Christians in China at 105 million. The government estimate is 25 million. This number, 105 million, much closer to what I'm hearing. However, this is both Catholics and Protestants. So I'm just looking. They've got a total number of Catholics based on this estimate of 21 million. So roughly one out of every five professing Christians in China would be Catholic, according to this survey. And how does it break down? It breaks down about one-third of that group would be in the registered churches, those recognized by the government, and two-thirds in non-registered Catholic churches. So kind of similar to the breakdown among Protestants, where it's about 2-to-1, those outside of the government churches versus those inside. So Catholicism is present. It's just about, as I said, one-fifth the size of the Protestant church in China. As to what's actually preached or taught or how religiously Catholic they are, that I don't know. Wasn't able to find that out on the trip. Didn't really come up. But that's your info, all right?
Yeah, I just want to ask you one other thing. Can a person go over there, can you sell Bibles on the corner? Can you sell them out?
Oh, no. They would tell you. I don't think you just set up shop and sell something on the corner, you know, period. But they would tell you there's no need to be bringing in Bibles because they're printing millions of Bibles and they're available in any church bookstore. I'm sure there are plenty of places in China where getting a Bible is still very special. You know, we weren't searched to see what we were bringing in. I imagine Christians still bring Bibles in and try to get them to maybe more outlying parts of the country. But from what I understand, you could go to any of the government-recognized churches and you could go into the bookstore there and freely buy a Bible without any problem. I asked, why don't you put them out in the bookstores, the secular bookstores? And a government official with the church told me, number one, we have far more church bookstores than secular bookstores. Number two, we have paper donated to us by an evangelical organization. We're not allowed to sell for profit. Number three, if it gets into the secular bookstores, then the price would go up and it would be harder for us to sell in the church bookstores. I said, yeah, but don't you want to get them out to the secular bookstores? I mean, isn't that a great tool for the gospel? So again, I'm just reporting what I heard. But thank you, Ted, for the call. Is there still persecution, opposition for the gospel in many parts of China? Absolutely. Is there a lot of freedom to preach the gospel in many other parts of China? Absolutely. And God is at work. Friends, just want to give you a special opportunity to do something, a way to bless our ministry, but to get a collector's item edition of Hyper Grace, which will be out, wow, just 6 weeks from now, exposing the dangers of the modern grace message, detailing who says what. We had some very, very insightful talks with some of the leaders as we traveled together throughout China from Shanghai to Nanjing to Beijing about hyper grace. Leaders told me it's the biggest issue they're dealing with as they travel. So to get your numbered and signed copies, so starting with the first one that we have printed, numbered and signed, so collector's item just for the first few hundred that are printed, $30 postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. You'll find it right on the homepage, or 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, regardless of motivation, regardless of human purpose, the gospel is going forth in extraordinary ways in China. The word of the Lord cannot be chained. You know, I'm looking back at this last week in China. It seems surreal. The gospel is unchained in China.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I am back from China. I got home, about 14, 15 hours ago after 20 hours of travel from the hotel in Beijing, and thrilled to be back with you. At China time, it is 4 in the morning, but I am wide awake. The consensus from most is I sound alive, sharp, full of energy. I only have one dissenter who claims I look tired and sound tired. No, I'm doing well. I've got some great reports from China. Also, since I didn't get to take your questions on Friday, I just answered e-questions. If we have some time, I'm going to do You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. The first half hour of the first hour, so our last hour, I was scheduled to have Pastor Mark Driscoll on with me. He's in the center of some controversy with his new book called A Resurgence. Some things came up about that last week. He was in the midst of some controversy involving the Strange Fire Conference, and he seems to be as controversial as he is influential. It's going to be our first time talking. I really wanted to hear his heartbeat, but he's been sick, got a bronchial infection, the flu, canceled out right before the show, but they're looking to reschedule. So we'll keep you posted on that. But I have a very special announcement to make. Are you ready? On tomorrow's broadcast, so the Tuesday broadcast, we are going to be doing a cessationist call-in day. This is our second cessationist call-in day, and I sure hope that my cessationist friends listening do better than the first time around. What we do is this. I'm not a cessationist. I personally believe that the charismatic New Testament gifts, tongues, prophecy, healing, those things that were normative in the New Testament continue to be normative today. To me, that's clearly what the scriptures teach. So based on sola scriptura, based on the witness of the word, not experience, based on the witness of the word, I believe these things are ongoing for today. However, I know many differ on that. So we set aside a day for folks to call in and explain why they differ. This is your opportunity. On tomorrow's broadcast, I'll be polite with you. I'll give you space to present your argument, a scriptural argument as to why you believe the gifts and power of the New Testament that were normative at that time are not normative today. Now, when I say I was disappointed the first time around, it's because I got almost no calls of any substance whatsoever from anyone trying to bring a scriptural argument. I had people calling in when I said, I don't want to hear from those who believe these things are for today. Those are the main ones that called. And we had hardly any calls from people really trying to offer solid scripture reasons. If we want to base things on experience, we can go all over the place. Someone can say, well, I prayed, nothing happened, therefore I don't believe it's for today. Someone else could say, well, I prayed, something did happen, therefore I believe it's for today. Our question is, what does scripture say? So here's your opportunity. This will be our second ever cessationist call-in day. I invite you, our phone lines will be open. I invite you to call with your very best scriptural arguments, and let's have some friendly, edifying discussion. Spread the word. Tell your friends. You don't have to be a theologian, pastor, scholar. You can be someone just following the word, following the Lord, and you are free to call in. All right. We come back. I want to share some more highlights from my China trip, but here's the bottom line. Here's the big revelation for me after this trip. In the government churches, the government-recognized churches, the Three Self-Patriotic Movement, which is the body of Protestant churches in China, the gospel is going forward. The word is going forward. And millions of people are getting saved in the government-recognized churches, not only in the house churches of China.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, straight back from China, straight here to you on the air. 1 week from today, I'm scheduled to leave for India, where we'll be broadcasting, God willing, live from India. Always a highlight to come your way. My India time when I broadcast is 12:30 to 2:30 in the morning. But it's wonderful. Privilege to come your way live from India. That's what we'll be doing. But pray for grace and strength. I was wonderfully strengthened on the trip. We had lots of very full days. Sometimes had a meet to leave the hotel like 7 in the morning to get on a bus to go to the train station to go from one part of China to the other and travel in jackets and ties with this entourage for the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, about 40 Protestant leaders from America. There were pastors of some of the largest churches in America. There were heads of denominations, presidents of seminaries, and a wide range, Presbyterian and Lutheran and Methodist and Nazarene, and just a wide range of believers coming together to meet with Chinese church leaders and with government officials. And my big question going over there was, all right, we're meeting with government leaders. What about the house churches? What about our brothers and sisters suffering persecution? What about the underground church that's not registered? How much liberty do they have? And on the one hand, we could do anything while we were there. In other words, we could take any pictures, we could record any audio, any video. Nothing on that level was restricted. And it was quite remarkable. For example, Saturday night, something got added in once we were there. It was not part of the original itinerary. And we go on our bus. At this point, some of the people had left already, so we had a total of about 30 of us. No, probably a little bit less, including Chinese. It was 30. But we get hosted by the former ambassador from China to the United States, former foreign minister of China, former ambassador to the UN from China, the same gentleman, who's had a long-term friendship with a key leader from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, Reverend Henry Holly, who oversees their Asia department, and has been in China various times since 1945 when he went as a Marine to stand with the Chinese in the battle with Japan at the end of World War II. And, of course, now has been bringing the gospel to Japan and China these many years since. But what was remarkable, we get to go in the State House, and there are 30 of us, and we go in there, and you talk about plush. Here's where American dignitaries will be hosted. Here's where American presidents will be hosted. And it's just take all the pictures you want. Do whatever you want. And at the table, the Chinese former ambassador asking gospel questions with great openness, saying, hey, I'm asking as a learner. I mentioned the first hour, we met with SARA, the State Administration for Religious Affairs, had dinner with some of their officials and talked frankly, face-to-face, honestly, openly. And in a building that we were told is older than the history of the United States, more than 300 years old, this gorgeous Chinese building, at the end of a meeting with government officials, I felt prompted to do it and asked, could I stand and pronounce the priestly blessing from Numbers, the 6th chapter, verses 24 to 26, the Lord bless you, keep you, to speak that in Hebrew and then translate it into English so my Chinese translator could translate it, the Chinese translator who was there with the team could translate. Was able to do it, and they appreciated me doing it. And again, the question is, how much is for show? Look, I was going into India one time, and I saw that when we had been flying in and out of Mumbai, Bombay, that the streets had been lined with homeless people, lined with them, these ramshackle places they were living in. You ever see construction, you've got maybe these giant concrete tubes, people would be living inside of those. And for blocks and blocks and blocks, everything got cleared away. I remember looking at it, saying, what happened? They said, oh, President Clinton's coming in here, and here's where he's coming in. So they wanted to present things a certain way. And I'm sure that when people come over to America, we want them to have a certain impression. You say, yeah, we have freedom of the press. Yeah, we have a lot of freedoms. There's no question. We have a lot of freedoms here in America that the churches in China do not have and the people in China do not have. A lot of it is also due to the Chinese mindset and way of government, that the greatest value we would have is freedom. Their greatest value for government side of things would be harmony and social order. But whatever is for show, the fact is the gospel is going out. I mentioned that again and again in the first hour. I want to repeat that again. The gospel cannot be changed. So we visited the Nanjing Seminary. This is a seminary with maybe 300 students. Now, in America, you have a college degree, and then you go to seminary. Here, you can go straight out of high school and get your college degree there. They go up to master's level, and that's the limit. So on the educational level, a far cry of what our seminaries would be doing academically in America, and also with younger people, and actually a higher number of female compared to male. And we went in there, the library for seminary, they had a lot of good books, but was very meager. Books in English, those we could see. The Chinese verses we couldn't see, but most of the students could read English. And we wanted to hear from them. We asked, hey, can we hear a testimony? One of the pastors on our team said, could we hear a testimony? And the choir director for the seminary got up and explained how he was into opera before he was saved, and he didn't know the Lord and got involved in a church, heard the gospel, and got born again. Now wants to give his life for using music for the glory of the Lord. Different ones that we spoke to, they seemed to be genuine believers. We heard from someone else, secondhand, he had graduated from the seminary, but his training was more liberal. You see, it within the same roof, you'll have some teachers, some of the professors who are solid conservative Bible believers, and others who would be more liberal in their approach to the gospel and Christianity. And the students just study all this together because you just have one state church, and that is going to have liberal, conservative together in one. And by the way, there's a big question I want to get to, and love your feedback on this as well, 866-34-TRUTH. So I'll come to my question in a moment. But I heard this secondhand, man graduated from seminary, went to pastor. That's one of their big issues. We don't have enough pastors for our churches. Churches are growing, more and more people are getting saved, more and more people want Bibles, more and more people want teaching and training. We don't have enough pastors. And they're saying to us, help us. Help us get solid literature in our libraries. Come to our schools and teach for us in our seminaries. I'm talking about a wide open door to do this. So this fellow graduates from seminary. And when he graduates from seminary, he goes to pastor a church. And while pastoring the church and reading the scriptures becomes a solid born-again believer, he said, hey, pastoring, you have to believe the Bible. You have to believe it. So here's my question for you. Are you ready? Are you ready? If we lived in China with our mentality, you've got tremendous crisis of abortion in China, all right? You have far more babies being aborted in China than in America. You also have the one child per family policy. Now, there are some changes that are coming to that. We heard from some saying, hey, the biggest issue is you can't really afford to have kids because you have to pay for education beyond a certain grade, and people just can't afford it. Prices are rising too much in China. So that's another reason people are just having one child, etc. But if we were there, And we felt the government was doing wrong, then as believers, we'd be speaking out against the government, correct? We'd be speaking out against the abortion policy there. We'd be speaking out against the one child per family policy. We'd be doing all this as Christians, whereas the churches there, they're not really focused on that at all. And in fact, the Christians, if you talk to their abortion's not really a major issue for them. It's not on their minds. Here's the question. In their churches, they can preach the gospel freely. I'm talking about the government-registered churches. They can preach repentance. Clearly, they can preach Jesus is the only way to God. They can preach the gospel plainly and simply and clearly in their churches. And no one's stopping them from doing that. But they won't be speaking against the government. They won't be bringing up abortion. They won't be bringing up one-child policy, anything like that. They'll simply be preaching the gospel. Should we be doing more of that here in America? Have we gotten sidetracked by addressing moral issues? Have we gotten sidetracked by addressing social issues? Have we gotten sidetracked by standing up for the life of the unborn here in America? Or is that part of the role of the church? In other words, when people do truly get saved, they live differently. Shouldn't we be then confronting culture with the gospel? Or has that sidetracked us from preaching the gospel? And someone mentioned as we were chatting about the trip in China, how much did Jesus seem to address the social issues of the day? Any thoughts on that? 866-34-TRUTH. Much more to come. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just a quick question, having come back from China. If we in our churches, Christian radio, writing, different ministries, could only preach about how to be saved and then how to live godly, moral lives in our personal lives, and we're not allowed to speak against government policies that we felt were wrong, we're not allowed to address unrighteousness in society. For example, we're not allowed to address issues of abortion, or if we lived in China, the one child per family policy. If we were not allowed to address those and simply had to preach how to be saved, and then how to live godly, moral lives insofar as it didn't cross over to these other areas, would that help us? Would that help us to be more gospel-centered, or would that take us away from part of our mission to be salt and light? 866-348-7884. Just a couple of China updates. All right, the one child per family policy, of course, has been roundly criticized. On the one hand, China has 1.3 billion people. If it experiences large-scale growth and lots of children, what do you do with all the children, etc.? Well, killing them is not the answer. Aborting them is not the answer. You say, well, you just limit the amount that you're able to have. Obviously, some have an issue with contraception and so on. But let's just put that aside. There's a problem now for the next generation. If you only have one child per family, is as the families get older, they do not have sufficient caregivers. There's not a sufficient support base. And then all of these only children having their kids, as they get older, there's absolutely no support base for the next generation. You need roughly 2.1 children per couple for a society to survive. Well, China is recognizing that. Of course, there's been fierce criticism over the one-child policy. And again, there have been some small exceptions to the rule for this. But a report from Christianity Today says China will relax its longstanding one-child policy, allowing two children a family in which one parent is an only child, according to the official state news agency. Human rights groups have recently been pouring cold water on speculation that China would loosen population controls, which have created public anger, quote, and international criticism over forced abortions, according to the New York Times. Fines for violating the law raised almost $3 billion for local governments last year, so people had their children, and there's severe fines for having more than one. In particular, there's a desire to have a male for many reasons in Chinese culture, same in other parts of the world, so you now have a disproportionate number of males compared to females in China, in India, which means someone's playing with things, meaning there are abortions based on gender selection or even female babies being thrown away, because the disproportion is not something that would happen naturally. Well, according to official Chinese news a little over a week ago, China will implement the new policy while adhering to the basic state policy of family planning. According to the decision on major issues concerning comprehensively deepening reforms, so on, The birth policy will be adjusted and improved step by step to promote, quote, long-term balanced development of the population in China. According to Wu Changping, an advisor with the China Population Association, he believes the change in China's family planning policy will unlikely lead to a baby boom because of Chinese parents' traditional preference for more children, which has changed due to rapid social progress in the country. So one of the changes would be if you yourself were an only child and you can have a second child. In other words, it's not just have as many kids as you want. Once again, a tremendous emphasis being put on control, social order. Again, it was a useful concept for me to come away with after being in China, to recognize that while we especially prize freedom more than anything, your average Chinese person, or at least the government perspective, prizes harmony and social order. Now, I heard that not just from government officials, but from Chinese Christians who were with me, that we got to talk on the trip. Chinese Christians living in America now, working with major American ministries, they repeated the same thing to me in terms of what their perspective was, harmony, social order being the biggest issue. Here's the question. As the gospel spreads, on the one hand, it brings greater social harmony and order, doesn't it? On the one hand, as the gospel spreads, families get reconciled, husbands and wives get reconciled, parents and children. Someone who was stealing from the job is now living a godly life on the job, etc., etc. On the flip side, isn't there a confrontation with the gospel and the establishment? In other words, the leaders of Buddhism, the leaders of Confucianism, as the gospel spreads, atheistic leaders, as the gospel spreads and more people come to faith, doesn't that stress the system? Doesn't that challenge the status quo? No matter how graciously you present the message, to me, the answer is yes. So how does that all pan out? We don't know. That remains to be seen. 866-34-TRUTH. I got to speak with a lot of folks on the trip from the American delegation about strange fire issues. You know what's fascinating? Not a single leader that I spoke with, I'm talking about denominational leaders, I'm talking about leaders from a wide range of religious backgrounds, not a single one was in agreement with Pastor MacArthur's position. In fact, when I was talking to a Lutheran leader, a systematic theology professor now working with Lutheran seminaries and based in northern Sumatra in Indonesia, to the point that he's had to learn to eat dog. Yeah, I know, sorry, but he has. When I told him about this view of the vast majority of charismatics worldwide not being saved, he was in an absolute state of shock, a Lutheran leader. I spoke to another brother whose denomination oversees more than 1,000 churches in Nigeria. He said his churches do not preach the prosperity gospel. They do not believe it. In fact, they're helping other churches with doctrine. He said, and they're charismatic. Anyway, another subject that came up often was hyper grace. I mentioned it in the first hour, but the president of Oral Roberts University told me the number one issue he's running into as he travels, hyper grace. I've got a list of people, I've got a stack of cards, people expecting me to send them the hyper grace book when it comes out. Friends, you can pre-order a signed, numbered copy. This will be a collector's item of Hyper Grace, $30, postage paid, a 304-page paperback, signed and numbered copy just for the first few hundred. You can order by calling 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. One more time, 1-800-278-9978, or visit my website, askdrbrown.org, right on the homepage. I got a bunch of interesting questions for you when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, this is interesting. 866-348-7884. Something very, very interesting here. I was scheduled to have on the first half hour of the broadcast, so it would have been an hour and a half ago, Pastor Mark Driscoll. Pastor Mark Driscoll, very, very influential pastor in America, often very controversial. This was going to be the first time that he and I have ever spoken or interacted. We heard from his office earlier that he's had the flu for a couple of weeks and now apparently a more severe bronchial infection. But he was scheduled to be on with me today, and right before the show was about to start, a few minutes before, we got a note that he wouldn't be able to join me. That's fine. I mean, we always have tons of things to talk about, and I have been really eager to give you more of my China update after an amazing trip there last week. Just got in last night, about 15 hours ago or so, after 20 hours of travel, leaving the hotel and making our way back here. But all that to say, he was on an interview last week with Janard Mefford, nationally syndicated radio talk show host on many of these same Salem radio networks. In fact, we're both on. Janet and I know each other and interacted on different occasions. And she raised charges to Pastor Driscoll about a 14-page section of his book, A Call to Resurgence, and said that he was guilty of plagiarism. He said, yeah, he did use material from Dr. Peter Jones. Perhaps he didn't recognize it properly and so on. And anyway, the conversation got pretty intense. And I said I was just going to ask about that when he was on the air. I wasn't going to major on that because he was previously scheduled to be on. There were other issues I wanted to talk about, but I was going to ask him any further response to the charge of plagiarism or any word from the publisher beyond what came out last week. So, again, right before the show, he canceled out sick. What do I believe? I believe he canceled out sick. I made clear I was not focusing on that issue. I haven't even had a chance to look at the book or the issues involved. Just got back from China, as I said. But people are saying, oh, yeah, right, that's why he canceled out. Sure, he just didn't want to be confronted with this. Hey, tell you what, God knows. God knows. But I'm going to believe the best until I have evidence to the contrary. That's what I try to do with everyone from any different perspective or background. Fair enough? So we're looking to reschedule. If he ends up not rescheduling at all, we'll find out why. And if it's a matter of he doesn't want to talk about this plagiarism issue, I'll tell you. All right? But I'm simply reporting he canceled out sick, and I heard even before the interview that he had been sick. So no problem on this end. We'll give him an opportunity to reschedule. Also, if you missed my announcement earlier in the show, tomorrow is our second ever cessationist call-in day. I've had Calvinist call-in day, dispensationalist call-in day. We had Is Mary the Mother of God call-in day for our Catholic friends one time. When I gave the cessationist invitation last time around, I got to be candid. I did not get a single good call in 2 hours from someone raising a single strong argument for cessationism. Now, you might say, well, Mike, you don't believe there are any strong arguments. That's true. I don't. But I would say that people at least could come up with a better argument than I was presented with, a scriptural argument. Now, maybe I have to open it up more and even say based on experience. You know, maybe you're a cessationist because of experience. To me, the question is, what does scripture say? Oh, all right. Should I mention that, Joey? No, maybe not. Maybe not. That was just another suggestion, probably in-house, I imagine. But it was named after an honored colleague here. You'd have to be crazy to call in. That would be a very interesting show. You know the only problem with that, Joey? Only problem with that is that people who have a screw loose, to be polite, often don't recognize they do, which is all the more reason we need to try to help them. So we probably won't do that. We'll be right back.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Music of China. Yeah. You know what? I don't think that voice of moral, cultural, spiritual revolution would be the way to bill our show if we were live in China. Revolution might not be the best word that could be used. Michael Brown, welcome to the Line of Fire. So here's my question for you. Then I've got a bunch of news things I want to talk to you about and more from China I want to talk to you about. Here's my question. Are you ready? If in America, we from the pulpit were not allowed to preach about social issues at all. Here, let's go back to the 1800s. Slavery, off limits, because that's just the law of the land, or at least part of the country. All right? You can't preach about abortion today. Can't preach about homosexual activism redefining marriage. You can't preach if you feel the government's doing the wrong thing with Obamacare. And by the way, for those of you who find the name Obamacare offensive and feel it's an attack on the president, that's the official name for it and the name our president wanted for it because of him being very, very proud of the legislation. What if we were not allowed to preach about any of those things? Would that help us simply focus on preaching Jesus and making disciples? Or would that actually restrict our ability to make true disciples because true disciples are going to stand for what is right? See, in China, this is part of what I learned. And please understand me. I was not so naive to think in 1 week in China that I'm going to find out everything there is to know about China. I was not so naive to think that in 1 week in China and meeting especially with government officials and government-recognized leaders with the government-recognized churches that I was going to get a full perspective of anything, obviously. And as we mentioned the first hour, there is the saying, nothing is as it appears in China. And another saying, if you've heard something about China, it's probably true, both referring to how vast the country is and how different the country is. But I asked a ton of questions on our delegation by special invitation from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, about 40 Protestant church leaders from America. I spoke with people who've been working in China for years and years and years. I spoke to someone who's married to a former Chinese church leader. I'm talking about in the government-recognized churches. I've talked to people who work on both sides with the house churches and the registered churches. I spoke early this year with a number of pastors from the house churches. I've spoken with my friends that have lived in China for over a decade. So I asked enough questions to get some understanding of things. And I do realize that criticism of the government is forbidden. So the same in the political realm, that you're not going to publish in the newspaper that the government is wrong on this, 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 and people need to step down. You're not going to do that if you're running for political office. You'd basically be running within the larger complex of the Communist Party. In the same way, from the pulpits, they're not going to be thundering against what they'd say is corruption in the government and corruption in society or the one child per family policy, which is being modified in some ways now, or against abortion or other things like that. Well, you know, I was thinking about in America that we can easily get here. I was talking with a leading African-American pastor from Charlotte, North Carolina, pastors about church, about 9,000 people. And we were talking about how divided things get around the political season here in America, how massively divided white Christians and black Christians get, and Hispanic Christians, probably Asian Christians as well, if you break it down demographically, how much passion gets put into the political realm. Think about it. The amount of money that gets raised for political campaigning. Yeah, on the one hand, we love our freedoms. On the other hand, we definitely get too political. There's no question about it. In my mind, we definitely get too political as well. And yet, the idea that we can't speak out for social justice, The idea that we can't speak out for the life of the unborn, something strikes me as profoundly wrong on that score as well. To me, the key thing is we've got to be kingdom people. To me, the key thing is we've got to be kingdom Jesus people. And when we stand for social righteousness, when we stand against corruption, when we stand for truth and liberty, it's not with political affiliation, it's with kingdom affiliation. I'm not to say you can't register with a party. I mean, I'm not personally, but I'm not saying you shouldn't or couldn't. What I am saying is our emphasis must be bringing the kingdom of God, making disciples, and thereby bringing about change. 866-348-7884. Paul Hadaway spent a tremendous amount of time working on the question, how many Christians are there in China? The official state figures, based on their surveys from a few years ago, official state figures say there are about 23 million, which would be roughly 25 million today based on growth from the last survey that was done. However, estimates, and Paul Hadaway looks at many, many different surveys that have been done, reviews, a couple thousand different documents, I believe. He puts the estimate at 105 million total professing Christians, including professing Catholics. The breakdown would be about 2-to-1 in the non-registered churches compared to the registered churches. And here's what he says. Listen to this. He says that even if the figure was only 30 million, it would still reflect a 40-fold increase from 1949. He said it's generally agreed that there were 750,000 Protestant believers in the country in 1949. And so even if there are just 30 million there now, it would represent a 40-fold increase in the nearly six decades of communist rule. This is extraordinary and should be the cause of much rejoicing and thanks to God. There are few countries on earth that could claim a similar explosion of faith over a similar length of time. But it appears to be much, much higher than that. Again, according to what's been reviewed, and this is a very, very detailed survey listed by province, he has a figure of 105 million professing Christians in the country, including 84 million Protestants, 21 million Catholics. Out of the Protestants, about 29.5 million in registered churches, 54 million in the non-registered churches. Among Catholics, about 7.5 million in the registered churches and almost 13.5 million in the non-registered churches. There is a bishop who is a leader in China, and from what I understood historically, I'd be thinking of him as more liberal and perhaps compromised with the government in terms of things that he sought to do to get the church recognized. In other words, if you have to depart from certain things, if you can't preach certain things, if you have to take on certain agreement with the government, does that hamstring you? Well, for a tax-exempt status here in America, there's certain things we don't talk about from the pulpit, right? Is that good and fair? Does that keep us preaching the gospel? Is that restrictions from the IRS? Fair question to ask. Well, this bishop, Bishop Ding, had as a slogan, "The Bible unites us." And this is the slogan of Amity Press, which has now printed 100 million Bibles. Now, this is Bibles in all kinds of languages. They even print up little Torah scrolls in Hebrew that I saw there. But they're printing on average about 4 to 5 million Bibles a year in Chinese for distribution in China. Well, what happens as the Bibles get out more and more? What happens as the Bibles circulate more and more? More and more people are getting saved. More and more people are reading the Bible for themselves and getting saved. And as a result of that, they are getting saved and they're making other disciples. There are mega churches. I'm talking about government registered churches with memberships of more than 10,000 people. And where some of our folks got to go Sunday morning, I was not able to, but some of our folks got to attend services Sunday morning. One building seated 800 people and it was filled in all three services. I was told when our folks were there for the service, and it was a more traditional service, choir, etc. But the gospel was preached freely. When our folks were there, the service was packed, and there was a line of people ready to get in for the next service. You say, was that just the government putting on a show? No, these are people coming because of Jesus. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 2 that even though he was chained, the gospel couldn't be chained. He wrote in Philippians, the first chapter, that even though some preached Jesus with wrong motivation, he rejoiced because the gospel was preached either way. Whatever it is that's motivated the government to give more religious freedoms, whatever it is that's motivated the government to say, yes, Bibles can be printed, whatever the motivation is, the good news is the gospel is going forth all over the vast country of China, even in the registered churches. We come back, I want to talk about Iran and nuclear development as well.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, look at this report from Huffington Post, United Kingdom. Court upholds ban on, quote, political Christian radio advert asking for bullied followers to share stories. Michael Brown, fresh back from China, on leave for India, God willing, a week from today. Thanks for praying. I was really sustained on the trip to China. A lot of grace with time change and all that. Really went unhindered the whole time. We were a little tired at times, but busy schedule. It was great. Alive, well, strong through it. Got back in late last night, straight to radio today. Oh, in fact, on what's called Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, we'll be live taking your questions. I'll be doing You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers on Friday live. Why? Well, I enjoy live radio. That's one. Two, a lot of you get to call in on these off days that don't normally get to call in. So that's another reason for doing it. And three, rather do it live than pre-record a show, right? 866-34-TRUTH. I want to talk about Iran in a moment, come back to China, but what a disturbing report from a few days ago in England. A radio advert, we just call it an ad, a radio advert calling on Christians who feel marginalized at work to report their troubles was rightly banned. The Court of Appeal has ruled. The proposed advert, a 30-second recording for Premier Christian Radio, by the way, a massive station in England. I've been on it before. My friend Dr. James White on a number of times with debates. Dr. Adrian Warnock recently debated Doug Wilson on cessationist issues on Premier Christian Radio. The proposed advert, a 30-second recording for Premier Christian Radio, was intended to urge listeners to report their experiences as part of a campaign for a fairer society. Premier Christian Radio's chief executive, Peter Carriage, described the decision as, quote, an attack on freedom of speech and a bad day for democracy in general. Quote continues, the wording of the advert did not seek to achieve a political end. It had no political message, and there was no attempt to influence the listener to a particular viewpoint, so there appears to be no good reason to ban it. The public interest cannot be best served by preventing people from gaining information, and we believe that such a ban represents an attack on freedom of speech for everyone. Naturally, we are disappointed with the judgment, but will now consider further options which may be available to us with our legal representatives. Wow. Wow. The advert was banned by the Radio Advertising Clearance Center, who said it was, quote, directed to a political end, and broadcasting it would infringe provisions of the 2003 Communications Act that banned political advertising. Well, there's hardly complete religious freedom then in UK. What about here in the States? Look, I agree that the church in America often gets too politicized. I was driving into the studio today, flipped on the radio to conservative talk show, and of course, they're talking about government issues, they're talking about liberalism, they're talking about President Obama. I'm not doing that every day, as you know and understand. That's one reason you're listening. And when there are social moral issues, Wednesday, in the first hour of the broadcast, we are going to have with us Brendan Omorcho. He's the director of field operations, and he was in Albuquerque with Students for Life of America, where pro-abortion activists sprayed pro-lifers with water guns and threw fake blood at them. Just reading another report of a four-year-old girl hit with a rock thrown by pro-abortion demonstrators at a pro-life rally. Friends, I believe it's a good thing that we're standing for righteousness in America. I believe it's a good thing that we're standing for life. I believe it's a good thing that we have the liberty to do that, and we should. Just like it was right for us to overthrow slavery in the 1800s, what would have been best is if it could have been done without a war. But that's what happened. That was our price to pay. A terrible, terrible loss in America because of these terrible policies, inhuman policies that we instituted with so many involved doing it as so-called Christians. And I recognize, friends, that I recognize that there is a hindrance in China that they can't address these things and they can't criticize the government. So do I claim to have the perfect balance? No. But I do want to say this. We need to jealously guard our freedoms. We need to jealously guard the freedoms we have. And while focusing on Jesus and how to live for the Lord, reaching the lost, making disciples, we need to live as disciples, and therefore that includes social justice. That includes care for the poor. Oh, and by the way, man, I didn't even mention this at all. There was a big emphasis throughout the conference, meeting with government leaders and so on. Throughout the conference, there was a big emphasis on the importance of the church getting involved in compassionate social action. That was big. Everyone agreed on that, be it feeding the poor, be it building hospitals. And that's obviously a way to extend the gospel by demonstrating the compassion and love of God for hurting people in tangible ways. So amen to that. There's a wide open door for that, wide open door for us to stand with Christians doing it. But again, we can look at both countries, what's happening in America, what's happening in China. We can learn, and then we can say, what can we do to advance the gospel? All right. Nancy asked me last night my thoughts on the agreement with Iran. Do I think it's good news? Gas prices just dropping now over the news that an agreement has been reached with Iran, further nuclear development, but allegedly not a bomb. What do I think? I don't know. You say all that to say, I'm sorry, but I don't know. I know that Israel says it's a historic mistake, and Israel says, fine, if we have to go it alone, we will. And Iran is not to be trusted. What if we felt strongly that we could be threatened by nuclear arms from Iran, and Iran had said they wanted to wipe us out? How we'd feel? I think it'd be a little bit different. But I do not know what to make of this. I will be following with interest, and maybe we can get some experts on to report further. And again, as I mentioned, when I was on the trip, I consistently ran into Christian leaders who said the number one issue they're facing today is hyper-grace. My book out January 7th, but we want to do something very special for our listeners. The first few hundred copies off the press, we will number, and I will sign them to you with a scripture verse for your gift of $30. So this helps us with our ministry work, helps us as I go to India next week, helps us with our radio outreach, helps us reach Jewish people with the gospel, helps us support our missionaries around the world. You'll also get a collector's item, 304-page paperback, $30, postage paid. It will be one of the first few hundred numbered and signed. And as I've traveled, it's been a joy to meet people who say, I got number 6, I got number 21, I got number 100. So call right now, 1-800-278-9978. The book that will lay out the issues and exalt grace and separate from the error. 1-800-278-9978. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, let us prize and cherish the freedoms we have here in America, and let us not lose them through compromise to sin.